Well, last Friday, Barbara and I went out to dinner with a couple from our community. That was awesome. Their son was converted at North River, and we were reaching out to them. And Barb texted the wife and said, why don't we have dinner at the Mexican restaurant Los Hermanos in Lilburn? Has anybody been there?
Oh, yeah.
That's good. And there's one in Tucker, too. Anyway, the woman texted back to confirm, but her phone used the auto spelling feature.
Uh-oh.
And what she said was that Los Hormones would be fine. I don't know what that is in Spanish, but I know what it is in English. And that is actually our topic tonight.
Yes.
Our topic tonight is cell phones and hormones.
Come on.
Okay, that is our topic. And in particular, how the combination of these two things and other forms of technology can lead our teens astray. Mm-hmm. And in particular, what we want to talk about tonight is lust, and even sexual sin among our teens and middle schoolers, primarily through the use of their electronic devices.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal tonight is to increase our awareness of this, and of things that are going on right here in our ministry, so that we can all sort of not be naive or not be unknowing, but to be aware and be alert, so that we as parents can help our kids.
Amen.
So that we can fight back against Satan in this specific realm of temptation and dealing with sexual sin. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to speak for a few minutes, and then Mike, and then Steve, and then we're going to make some suggestions at the end for a plan of action. You know, our kids face enormous amount of sexual temptation in our society. You know, at school, it's all around them. It's in the media, Super Bowl commercials, Super Bowl cheerleaders. It's everywhere. Okay, it's everywhere. It's on billboards driving around.
Mm-hmm.
And it also comes in through the virtually unlimited technology that they have at their disposal to access data. Whether we're talking about computers, whether we're talking about smartphones, iPads, I don't even know all the various Kindles, devices that they have. So let's read Ephesians 5, starting in verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. Amen? And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. That's our goal tonight. Take no part in the unfruitful or fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, or making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay. Why are we having this class? Because, as Paul says here, we need to expose and bring to light fruitless deeds of darkness. Not, we don't leave them hidden or let our children leave them hidden. We need to bring them into the light. What we have begun to see in our ministry over the past few months is a pattern of sinful use of cell phones by some of our teens. And we're concerned, you know, even middle schoolers might be doing or learning to do these things. And we wanted everyone to be aware so we could all be alert to it and help our kids with it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to use any names, and we're not going to even use genders, but I want to just describe some of the things that have happened so y'all can be aware. And then we're going to talk some, as I said, about how we can deal with it. Last summer, we discovered two teens in our ministry that were sending each other inappropriate pictures via cell phone. Okay, pictures of themselves. Inappropriate pictures, pictures that were pornographic in nature of varying degrees. Okay, in that situation, we dealt with it, worked with parents. Something similar had occurred with teens a couple years ago and was dealt with, and we kept hoping these are isolated incidents. However, recently we discovered two and possibly three more children of families in our ministry doing the same sort of thing. Okay, so the situations are being dealt with again, and parents are talking and getting advice and all that stuff. But at this point, it looks like a pattern. And so we felt like we wanted to bring it to the attention of everyone, so that we could all be to alert to this kind of thing. We are also unfortunately aware of a couple of examples of actual, not just virtual, sexual immorality among our teens. So as Paul says here, we want to bring these things into the light, and we don't want to be foolish. We want to be wise about how we handle this situation, and to find out the Lord's will. So that's our goal. And our goal is, I know this is serious and a heavy kind of topic, but the goal, again, is to help. The goal is to, make sure that we're doing the right thing. Turn to 1 Peter 5. The enemy that we want to focus on is Satan. Okay, that's the enemy. That's who's opposing us, the adversary, the one who's doing this. The one who tempted Jesus, the one who tempted people in the Bible, the one who tempts us, and the one who tempts our kids. That's the person we are opposing. The enemy is not each other. The enemy is not even, unspiritual teens that might be among us, or even an unspiritual teen at school that might be influencing your child. That's not the enemy. We need to deal with them, but that's not the enemy. The enemy is Satan. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful, or be alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And I'm sure this is a worldwide problem. But Satan is like a lion. We all know this passage. He seeks to devour us. We all know this. But he also seeks to devour our children, to devour them with sin, to destroy them with sin, to ruin their lives. And what does Peter say we must do? Resist him. Okay, resist him. Firm in our faith. We can't be passive when we discover things like this. We have to be active. We have to resist Satan, resist Satan's influence in our children's lives. We must take action to counter his influence. We must stand firm in our faith. We know these things are wrong. We must point that out to our kids. Use the scriptures. Right. We have to stand firm in our faith. We can't waver and say, well, maybe it's okay, or society has changed, standards are different. No, we have to be firm in our faith about what's sin and what's not, and teach that to our children, and hold that standard up in our households. And it says we have to be alert, or watchful, sober-minded. We have to be aware of what's going on. We have to be on guard. We have to be vigilant. We can't be naive. We can't be clueless. Most parents portrayed on television or in the media are kind of clueless about what's going on with their kids. We can't be that way. He said, be sober-minded. I think what other translations say, be self-controlled. We have to be righteous ourselves. Okay, we have to be godly. We can't be dabbling in this stuff ourselves and then be righteous about dealing with it our kids. That would be hypocrisy. So we have to be righteous ourselves about these things. But also, we can't overreact. We can't react in anger, and just get upset with our kids. We have to be self-controlled. We have to be deliberate in our response. We have to, be calm, not freak out if we discover something. Amen? So Mike is going to come up now.
Thank you, Steve. Amen. Turn your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 22. As Steve said, this is a heavy, heavy topic, but as Christians, we have to talk about heavy topics. You know, our kids have a reputation in many different places in their lives, whether they're at school, whether they're here at church, or whether they're at home. Proverbs 22, verse 1, says, "A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." The Bible says here that a good reputation is better than wealth itself. Yeah. And a reputation goes a long way for all of us. So when you think about it, you have a reputation of what you're like. Our kids do when they're at home, at church, at school, etc. But they also have an online reputation.
Come on.
Our online reputation may or may not match up with those other reputations that we have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's frightening.
Yeah.
That tells us a lot about technology, the minds of our teens and middle schoolers, that we really need to be engaged with our children. Some of our kids have are different online than they are in person. And this should not come as a shocker to us. Mm-hmm. We should all pretty much know our teens by now. Which reputation is more important, the one in person or the one online? Mm-hmm. Our kids' online reputation may come back and bite them someday if they're not being righteous while they're online. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies today and a lot of schools today choose to accept students for their school or choose to hire them as employees based on a simple search of their name.
Yeah.
I've seen it at Turner time and time and time again. And we need to help our kids with that. It's important for your teens to understand that their online audience is wider than just their friends. Your kids should think about what information they're putting online and how it can affect them and their friends and even others. Before they post or tweet or tag or whatever they're doing, they should ask themselves, would it be okay with my parents, my future college professor, or my future employer seeing this content that I'm about to send?
That's right.
If they wouldn't approve it, our kids should know not to send such messages online.
That's right.
And we're bringing this to the church's attention because this is our future. The children are our future, and things do come back and smack us right in the head if we're not being wise, if we're not being mature. You know, just for some of us, we need to be wise about how long our kids are on computers.
Amen.
Or on the cell phone.
Amen.
I mean, if it's after 10, 11 o'clock at night, you know, you got to question, what are they doing?
Right.
Because this could devastate their lives forever by the use of this technology that we have here today.
Right.
And I know for somebody like me, as far as tweeting and tagging and all that stuff, I don't know anything about that stuff. But I do know that, you know, I ask my kids for their passwords. I want to look at stuff, and I never get any pushback as of late. So that's what I wanted to share, and I'm going to have Steve come up and share his portion.
Just a quick scripture reference and something to think about. In Luke 17, verse 1 through 3. It's Jesus talking to his disciples, and he says to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. And he says, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Then he says in verse 3, the first part of it says, pay attention to yourselves.
Amen.
You see, what he's saying there, he's talking to everyone, but he's definitely also talking to parents. We need to pay attention to ourselves, as it was already said, as the example that we're setting. But there's inherent in being a parent is that we have that responsibility to be looking after what we're putting in front of our children. Have you ever thought how many of our children have a smartphone? Did they buy it themselves? And there's not too many of our kids that have hundreds of dollars that can go and buy a smartphone. I only just recently got one myself. I had one of the old-fashioned ones that stay around forever. You know, it could take a picture, yes. It could make a phone call. And I didn't even have a camera one until just a few years. Yes, I've been behind the times. So listen to this. It says out there that right now, more than 30% of teens own a smartphone.
Wow.
That figure is targeted to reach 100% in 2 years.
Wow.
That's how fast change is coming. And we need to be aware of that. And so the question I ask us as parents is, what are we enabling? Because our children want something.
Right.
You have to ask that question. What am I enabling? And then once I enable it, what am I looking at? Okay? Once I give a phone, what have I really enabled? I have to be aware. I have to have an understanding.
Right.
Here's what's... There's several things at stake. There's personal purity for our children.
Yes.
Okay, sexting is a cultural phenomenon that's going on right now of all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And they know about it. Your kids know. What they don't really understand is that there's also predators that are out to find them.
Yeah.
Adults that are looking for someone that's lonely, for someone that's insecure, and someone who's naive, to take advantage of them, to trick them. Then, sadly, there's bullying. There's bullying that's being done, and yes, your sweet Johnny can do it. And then our sweet Johnny can be bullied. And we have to be aware that cell phone and social media and the apps that connect these devices enable these things to happen.
That's
right. Porn and other content. There's all kinds of content that is available, whether it is in text or in picture form. Our teens are most susceptible to graphics. They are, because they don't want to write. They don't do much writing, at least not on their apps, okay? But as Mike already said, there's this potential loss of reputation, not only in the future, but in the now, within their own circle. At school, someone gets released and it's shared, and something that was meant to be what our Johnny or Susie thought was going to be a very private thing becomes a very public thing. And it's terrifying. So there's the embarrassment. And Mike talked about the future opportunities. These are just some of the dangers. Is it worth it?
Yeah.
We just need to think through that. Is it worth it? Do they have to have a smartphone to call you to pick them up?
Right. Come on.
Do they really? I'm just asking. So it's something to think about, okay? So here's some suggestions for us as parents, okay? One, you need to understand the world of apps. There are app stores for your phones and other devices. Apps have ratings. The ratings are totally unreliable. They're about as good as ratings for movies. They're broad guidelines with buckets of information, but probably most things are going to have something inappropriate. So you need to look at what's being downloaded. You need to look at it. You need to have an understanding of what it is. A parent can actually get alerts when new apps are loaded to their child's devices. You can set it up. Since you're paying for this stuff, if you're not doing that, you're woe to you. Woe to you. So you get the alerts and you go, what in the world is that? And then you look at it.
That's right.
You can download apps on their devices that have content blocking capabilities and monitoring of where they're going. Unfortunately, nothing's foolproof. And quite honestly, if you're in that place with your kids, it's not a good place to be. But these are the wise things that we need to do. You need to understand if an app is based on video sharing, it is a magnet for porn. And if I'm speaking Greek to you, you need to learn what I'm talking about. Read user reviews for the apps. You can go out there and they say, I try it. You'll see. Some other parent goes, don't download this. There's other parents out there that share the same concerns that we have.
That's right.
And then there's others that will be saying, this is awesome. I get to see nasty pictures. You'll see all of that, okay? You'll see stuff that people think is great, and you're going, ah, no. And that's what you need to be concerned about. So I already mentioned that apps have ratings. But honestly, most of the problems stem from the user rather than the ratings. If you see something that says NSFW, does everyone know what that means? Not safe for work. That's what that means. They put that out there, so if you're surfing at work, you're not supposed to be looking at that. Well, your kid better not be looking at that stuff either. That's what it means. Not safe for work means it's not good for an employed person to be looking at. It's not good for your child to be looking at. You need to monitor privacy settings for apps. What information is being shared about you? I mean, honestly, even you have some of your information on their phone because you bought it or you are paying for it. You need to have access to all their passwords and apps. You need to review what they've put on it. And a great suggestion is no electronic devices stay in their rooms.
Amen.
I mean, when you think they've gone to bed,
that's right.
You're being naive.
That's right.
They stay up. They stay up long after you go to sleep. After you were watching TV and you've fallen asleep. So Roxanne and I gave our kids Kindles. And they don't have a cell phone yet. And on the Kindles, we have monitoring apps. We see what applications they have. We do not allow them to use them in their rooms. We take them at night. And people go, you know what? That's a lot of effort to do this. Mm-hmm. Yes, because this, I'm very cognizant of what I'm enabling my child to do.
Amen.
It's meant for fun. That's what I want them to have. I want them to read. They have their Bibles on it. I want them to use the Bible. Absolutely, but I'm not stupid either. You know? So be aware of these kind of things that are on there. There is a tool that you might want to check out. It's called MM Guardian that has safety apps that you can download on your phone and other devices. Okay? Now, I'm going to give you some names of apps, and then I will probably contact Todd and we can send out this list of things. I'm not going to go into any depth on it. It'll take too much time. We want to leave some time to take question and answers in just a moment. But listen to these apps. If you've never heard of it, you need to find out more about it. Okay? So some of these are very popular and you might not be aware. Facebook, you need to be able to review your child's settings, what they're putting on it. We actually have had children that are using all kinds of cuss words and inappropriate pictures on Facebook. And how are they doing that? It really points immediately to that a child isn't, that a parent is not viewing it. We have Instagram. That's all about posting pictures. You need to be aware of the privacy settings. Twitter, did you know that you teens can follow and be followed by others? Images can be posted, and your teens can create an account without you knowing it. There's Pinterest, Vine. All these, Vine has to do with making and posting 6-second videos. And it is a magnet. It actually has a 17-plus rating on it, but it's much more than that. Reddit is very popular with teen boys. You need to take a look at how it's being used. Tumblr is about blogging. Teens love that because you're sharing stuff that try to show your personality. And so predators like to use that. Kick, Snapchat, that's one that's very popular with teens for sharing sexting because they think that their videos are being destroyed within seconds after they send them. But the fact is that picture can be captured and gets shared. There is no app that guarantees privacy. There's another one called Feed that's with a PH. Juanello, that's an app that teen girls use. It's called Want. It stands for Want, Need, Love, which is about basically, it's not what you think. It actually is about tagging products and clothes and things that I really want this, I really need this, I really love that. It's more materialistic kind of thing. And 4chan. So these are just some things. There's so many apps. There's thousands. Thousands, thousands. A lot of them are games. But these are all social ones that I'm bringing to your attention.
Right.
These are the ones where they're purposely going out and trying to contact someone else. And it's not necessarily even within the circle here, but it's others. And so if you see these apps on phones and you didn't know it was there or why it was there, you need to see what's going on. Okay? So this can be very overwhelming to keep up with your teen's online lives. But the fact is your teen's not active in all these networks, but you do need to be sophisticated and not naive. Okay? All right.
Okay. I want to go over a kind of an immediate plan of action, and then we'll all three of us will take question and answer. And as Steve just said, don't be overwhelmed. He especially just laid a lot of data on you. I never heard of half of the stuff he just said. You know, hopefully you won't find all that on the phone, but maybe one or two. What we would like to do is suggest that we do some things together simultaneously. That will help us right now uncover what might be there that's relatively easy to find so we can start the conversation with our kids. And then some of this might take longer to dig down and learn exactly what their phones are doing. And, you know, the goal, again, is to help our kids and protect our kids. And as the church, the body of Christ, I think it's important that we support each other, that we help each other, and that we do this together. So what we would like to do is ask that everyone request tomorrow night, you know, when you get home and your kids are home from school. We didn't want to do it tonight because that would be difficult. But tomorrow night, ask them for their devices. Ask them for it. And let's all together this weekend, you know, do a check. And you can tell them why you're doing it. You can share the same scriptures. You can say we had this class tonight. I mean, we're not deceiving them, but we want to just do an audit of their phone, Kindle, iPad, whatever it is they use for the, you know, communication and data. And that, you know, what we want to first mainly look for is sexually inappropriate material. And if I'm going to do it too. And, you know, just sit down and say, you know, is there anything like that on your phone? Show it to me and let's talk about it. You know, and you want to make it as easy as possible for them to fess up. And if it's there, you know, and make it easy, but don't take no for an answer. You know, don't let them wriggle out of it. You insist. Insist on whatever you need, the passwords if you don't already have them, whatever you need to open it up. And the first thing I suggest you look is just look at the conversations. You know, if it's a conversation texting system, you know, they'll all be together. But if it's a, you know, sort of like an email, there'll be an inbox and an outbox, and you know, you'll sort of have to go. But just go in there and look at the communications, look at what pictures might have been attached, and then look at if there are photo files. I'd look at them. That'd be an easy place to start. You don't really even have to know about all the apps to do that. Yeah. Just look at their texts, right, and who they're texting, and see if you uncover stuff. And then you have a conversation with them. You know, you share scriptures that, you know, this isn't good. And, you know, it's a great place to begin to talk to your kids about this if you haven't been or you haven't done this in a while. That your instinct, of course, will be to immediately delete anything bad. And, you know, and obviously if they've downloaded something from Playboy and it's on the picture file, you know, yeah, feel free to delete stuff immediately. But what I don't want you to delete immediately is communications between them and other teenagers. Because I want you to see who it is. And if the, some of these inappropriate communications are with other teens and families in the church here, we want you to communicate with the other parents. You know, we want you to call them up and say, I found this on my phone that my teen sent to your teen or that your teen sent to my teen, and have a conversation about it. And if necessary, if they haven't found it on their phone, you can send it to them so they can see and so they can talk with their child. And again, the goal is for all of us to help each other help our kids. And you want to look, it might have been a mutual exchange. You know, you might find a back and forth. You might even find a broadcast where they send it to several people. And so you sort of want to look at it. You might find friends from school, and, you know, and you'll zero in on, oh my gosh, I didn't know they had that kind of relationship with that person, or that that person is having that kind of influence on them. And so that, again, tells you, well, you're not going over to their house anymore. You know, that's a conversation to have. We're not talking about gossip here. We're not going to just start talking about the, you know, we're just talking about you talking to your kids, and then if another child, a family in our congregation is involved, you talking to that family so that we have communication. And obviously you can come to us or our wives, the elders, if you want input or help with things. So, you know, we're not just going to all gossip about it, but we don't want to let these things stay in the dark. Like Paul said, we want to bring them to the light so that light will be exposed. We're resisting Satan. He's going to flee, and we're going to help our kids. I would also suggest that, you know, when you start having these conversations, you even go further. You know, okay, you have these, if there are bad cyber things going on, is there bad actual things going on? You know, is your child a virgin? Do you know that? You know, ask them that question. You know, have that conversation. I mean, we need to know this stuff. Have they gone close to the line in real life? Are they toying with the line in real life? Bad company corrupts good morals. I mean, you want to know, who are they hanging out with? You know, has stuff like this been going on at parties or at football games or in cars somewhere? You know, you want to start finding these things out. You don't want to be naive. and you don't want to find out that this has been going on when a pregnancy happens,
right,
or a sexually transmitted disease occurs. You don't want to, you don't want that to be the first way you find out that your kid has been moving in this direction. And don't be angry. Don't overreact. You know, be very calm no matter what you see, because you want the channel of communication to stay open.
That's right.
You don't want them afraid of you. You want them to, want to draw them out. So and that might be hard if you're not expecting what you find. And you might need to be careful. I mean, I don't want to see certain things if I were to find them. But and if you're married, you can help each other. And we asked for the mentors to come in here too, so the single moms could get help from who's ever mentoring their child and so on. So that's and, you know, and it might lead to some things. You know, if we find that two kids in our ministry are doing this, we might want to start limiting that relationship. Okay? You're not going to be texting and calling them on the phone all the time anymore if y'all been doing this. You know, maybe they shouldn't be sitting together in church if they've been influencing each other to do this kind of thing. So, you know, and then you can agree with the other parents and come up with a game plan. So, you know, that's the kind of thing we want to be taking measures to help. You know, and if we begin to sense our kids are tempted or actually engaging in sexual immorality, we need to look at that. You know, are they using our car to do that? Are they using our house to do that? Are we allowing them to do these things, going to somebody else's house when we know what might happen? You know, so, you know, we need to be aware of that and take a stand. And obviously we want to keep communication open with our kids, even if they're worldly. And obviously, you know, get help, get guidance, and we can all help each other with that. Amen?
Amen.
So y'all want to come up and we'll do some Q&A. Yes, sir.
How often should the audit be done, and should it be done randomly?
I think that's a parent's call. I think I'd be guided by what you find on the first time. But I think what the opportunity here is to begin having a conversation maybe we haven't had with our children about the nature of sin and what the dangers are. And you need to establish your moral authority, your parental authority. And this is one of the ways, if you haven't done this before.
Right.
That's key. Because otherwise, honestly, you've just been too permissive. And so you have to have your arms around what's going on in your child's life as best as you can.
Yeah.
Right. And we all have blind spots and we're all naive in different areas.
Right.
But as someone makes us aware of an area that perhaps we've been naive in or too permissive, it's time to take action.
Right.
Because we do not want something to happen to our child that harms them forever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that scars them. That's part of the conversation I would have with my child.
Yeah.
Because I care about what happens to you. I care about what goes in your brain, and it affects how you think about something things that are meant to be pure, relationships, sex. You know, these kind of things, we don't want to bring the world into our brain this way. It's already too much.
One thing, maybe I should have said before, too, the teens don't know we're having this class, and that's on purpose, so that you all have an opportunity to take the device and have this conversation over the weekend. Because otherwise, word would be spreading right now and things would be deleted. It's very deliberate. So don't tell your teens tonight this is coming, okay? You know, do that tomorrow. And then we will, John and one or more of us will probably participate, is planning a class for next Thursday where we're going to talk to our teens about what we did tonight and how'd that go. And see, you know, and talk about, you know, sort of the consequences of what we've proposed tonight. Yes.
Will that class be teen and middle schoolers,
or just teens? Well, we actually haven't thought about doing that with the middle schoolers. We were just thinking about the teens, but we can consider that too.
Middle schoolers.
Yeah. Nodding your heads. Yes.
Before we answer one other question, I just had a thought. You know, one other thing that you can do in this discussion
with your child is offer up your device.
Yeah. That's right.
Look at mine.
Yeah. That's
it. Yeah. Yeah. You have the same, you want to look at mine? I want to be pure.
Right.
Look at my apps. Look at what I do. Look at my profile. Look at where I go.
Yeah.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yep, back here.
Yes, Rick.
I don't know if I should be happy or not, but all those apps you mentioned, I had known of all of them, except for one. You know, I was familiar with all of them. But I try to keep up on a lot of the latest things. And I know that, like, Facebook, excuse my voice, teens got out of Facebook a long time ago. Once they found that
parents
were trading Facebook, they don't use Facebook anymore, besides texting. I know that Twitter is their biggest thing.
Instagram.
And so I would suggest, like, when we do look in their phones and look at Twitter, look at who they're following, and look at who follows them.
And you follow them.
You know, that can give you an idea of, I don't know if they have a whole lot of them. You can have, I know LeBron James has 10 million followers. So none of my kids, I'm sure, have anything close to that. But, you know, if you recognize names of, you know, this is Sally or Sue in the church here, something like that. But then if there's some, and a lot of times when you have those followers, their picture is right next to them.
Right.
And, you know, you can ask them, well, who is this guy here? He looks like he's 40 years old. Why are you following him? Why is he following you?
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. But besides texting, Twitter is the biggest thing they do. Kind of like with Snapchat, too, right?
Yeah,
they'll take a picture, and it's supposed to be gone from Snapchat in 10 seconds, they think. But like you said, it can still be captured and set up.
Yeah, you can set the length of time that it's available.
Or as soon as you get it, you just do a screenshot of it.
Yeah. Marie?
Yes, I wanted to say also there's also a criminal aspect of it, because I saw in the news where forward, you can just an email that could have gotten charged, you know, for child pornography. Even if you are 10 years old or
11
years old.
Yeah.
So it's very serious.
That happened right here in Gwinnett County.
Danny?
You had mentioned, you know, if you do find something, it's like when you get together with the parents and things like that. What if, when you're discovering the devices and it's not a disciple, or in two scenarios, you know, your next door neighbor, this kid that you know personally, or second scenario, you don't know this person. What, you know, what do you suggest doing? I know it would probably be talk to them also.
Yeah, well, there's a judgment call with if it's a family you know and it's outside the church. If you know them well enough to say, look, this is what our kids have been doing, I do. I go to my next door neighbor.
Right. Yeah.
I do that for sure. If it's a stranger, I might text him myself and say, this is so-and-so's dad. Stop it. Call to the police. You know? Talk to Marie.
You're texting the other kid's device, the father might not.
Well, I know. If you don't know, you don't know. But you can at least put the fear of God in them. So.
One thing that I do, and I think it's a good idea because I know a lot of parents don't, because I follow a lot of the kids, is I follow everything. I'm her Instagram. I follow her Instagram. She follows me. I follow her on Twitter. She follows me. And that way, whenever she posts something, I can see exactly what she's posting. I can see exactly what her friends are posting. I can see who's following her, who's, you know. And so she can't do anything on certain apps. Now, obviously, I can't see what she sends on Snapchat and things like that. But for the most part, this social media that the kids are using a lot of, if you follow them and they're following you, then you can see everything that they do. But a lot of, you know, there's a lot of parents that aren't following their children on these.
But then
you know,
it's smart because they'll make another account.
Right.
They can hide some of their.
Yeah.
They know.
Yes, Gloria.
We personally had a circumstance where we prematurely gave our son a smartphone. And I'm just being honest. And we've taken it away from him. And now we're trying to figure out what to do, because his attitude is, you gave me a privilege and now you're taking it away. And it's really because he's too young for it. He doesn't know how to handle it, and we do want to protect him. He did have a kick account where the neighbor's daughter was inappropriately sending messages. And Michael was wise enough to come bring it to us, but I guess what I'm asking is, how can we talk to him and get him to not be so angry, because we're going to downsize him to a trash bomb again.
I think you used the word yourself, privilege. You know, a privilege is not a right. I mean, any of us can have our privilege of driving on the roads removed. Our privileges get taken away from us, and it's based on responsibility. And so that's the opportunity, is to have a discussion on responsibility and trust. And so we have to continuously extend opportunities for our children to earn trust, and we will risk being disappointed. But if you can't remove the element of being able to earn trust, so you got to figure a way. It doesn't necessarily have to be a smartphone. It can be other privileges that they have interest in, and that's where the opportunity for a discussion comes in.
I don't have a smartphone. I'm 55 years old. My 20-year-old son doesn't have a smartphone. And of course, my 16-year-old daughter doesn't either. So.
Oh, I was going to say, is there a plan to share this with those teachers that are teen?
There are no teen teachers currently in the rotation on Thursday.
Oh, I thought Todd Schultz. I mean, Todd.
He's out of town.
No, not Todd Schultz.
Todd Reynolds.
Todd Reynolds.
Oh, the parents of the
Keira
middle school
Schultz.
Teachers. Yeah.
There were the middle schoolers. I know they are.
Yeah, we just need to talk, look around and talk to people if they're not here. Yeah.
I just wanted to say that I noticed that my son, when he had a Facebook account, my aunt was also on this, right? She saw him writing stuff that he, like, would be a choice word, but because he just put the first letter and then star, star, stars, and then the last letter, he felt like it wasn't a using that language because he wasn't saying it, and he didn't write the whole word, you know. And so kids don't understand that. I had to tell him, communication, no matter how you do it, it's you saying it. And so that may be something you discuss with your kids too. Just because you wrote it and you didn't say it, it doesn't alleviate it from not being permissible.
Well, I think the point here is that this will enable, whether there's something on the phone or device or not, to have discussions that need to be had and reinforce things. Or you'll see something that you're going, it's foolishness,
right.
Some kind of stupid thing going on.
Tammy?
And I know you guys brought it for the teens and the middle schoolers, but I definitely think y'all should tell this to the elementary parents too, because a lot of those kids have the devices, and believe it or not,
not phones, but
they have iPods and stuff
tablets.
Like that. And,
tablets.
And we had our children surf for something they didn't know what they were surfing for at first, and then lots of stuff starts going on. So I think this is something too that it's just not, it's not teen. It's starting at an early stage, and we should prepare everybody.
And we have a lot of kids that are buddies, and they do tell each other what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, if they saw something weird or scary or they were doing something, they talk about it. You know, and so if they figure out some way to use a device, they'll share that something with someone else to be cool.
Yeah.
They will.
That's true.
Rick, did you have your hand?
Yeah, YouTube has not been mentioned.
Yeah, no.
That's
yeah.
Those are probably downloads.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just so many you can't.
With the younger kids, something that we did was when I gave her email,
I set it up so it automatically forwards every single email, including the ones that she sends out and the ones she gets in. And so for a long time, she had no clue that every time she was downloading something, trying to set up an account, because most of those accounts you set up, you have to put an email address. So she called herself, put on her US, and every time she would just like, hey, let me check your phone. And I would tell like I was playing with her own phone. And she would have no idea the whole time I was getting all her emails, both out and in. So, yeah, it took her a long time, about 2 years.
Janice?
I was just going to say, I know a lot of the schools here in Gwinnett County, too, are starting to let kids bring their devices in. They're starting the electronic. My kids could check Kindles and Nooks out of the school. Supposedly, they're internet blocked, but I don't know. I haven't actually even looked at one that my son checked out and brought home with books on it. So, I mean, it's not even that you're necessarily providing it for them, but they can get it from their friends at school, and they can check them out from the schools now, so you have to check and see what's on the ones they're getting, because somebody else might have downloaded something before they got a hold of it.
And I know that we are discussing the teens and the middle schoolers, but I want to charge the parents, you know, Philippians 1:27, it says, no matter what happens, conduct yourself in a manner that is worthy of the cross of Christ. If we are not being who we need to be with these devices online, you know, there's no way that we can go to our kids to even start a conversation.
Donna, you had something.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, I know
we've
had situations with people that we've been working with that, you know, they'll take their kids' phones away, and you know, as a punishment, and then they have other devices that they can still communicate with people, you know, through their their
iPods,
the Wii. They can still text and communicate through their iPods and I shouldn't be naive about that either, that they're, you know, we think we're punishing them, but really they just go to the next device that you know, and I don't know if people realize you can communicate out on the Wii. All that kind of stuff, they can continue to text their friends.
Yeah, I was literally walking down the street in Midtown, coming back from lunch at Colony Square, and I just overheard these two parents, we were standing in the street corner waiting for light change, talking. And they're talking about how the mom was talking about how her 13-year-old daughter wanted to have a boyfriend at school, and she thought, what's the harm? She's not going to see him after school on the weekends. She's only going to see him in a couple of classes at school. What could possibly happen? And I'm sitting here thinking, I almost spoke up and said, you know, in her room for 2 hours every night with this boy. But, you know, people, you got to be aware. You got to be aware.
When you send out that list of the websites and all that, can you just take a poll of what the best security system as far as your internet security are?
Take a poll?
Well, I mean, find out, you know, what the one of the better internet security that you can have control over. It was like they were saying, you've got so many internet devices, like even your TV and your VCR, or not VCR.
We have a couple of experts here, maybe they'll help us out.
Well, the best thing with any of those, and it's even good for, like I said, especially, you know, guys and adults, is put password protection on there. If you have any DirecTV, whatever those, you can put protections on every one of them. Put a password on. Like, our kids have iPods for their Bibles and stuff. We put a password on there, and so they can't use it unless they come to us and ask for it. And you know, it's 4 days, they can figure it out at some point, but, you know, and so we change it. And they, like I said, you know, not in your room, you don't get it, you know, it's like, they don't get it during the week. I mean, a lot of different things you can do, but like you said, all those things, PS3, all those things, you can put passwords on it. You keep the password, and I know it can be troublesome, but if you really want to pay attention, it's like, okay, I'm going to unlock it for this period of time. Somebody's home, you get to use it here. Now I'm going to relock it, and you're done.
Yeah. One more, and then we need to stop.
Another thing, I know we're talking about texting and all that, but all the kids.
kids that have smartphones, which I think a lot of the middle schoolers do, they FaceTime.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What I found that she's FaceTiming with somebody in her room. I mean, so they're not just, they're seeing each other.
Live, right. Real time.
And
real time.
That right there is like really serious, because I'm like, but you in the room and they see all your, you know, so that's one thing that's really, I mean, I think the texting is past that FaceTime is real time.
Yeah, no device in the room. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
No device in the room. Mike had a closing, more positive
so
announcement.
So we have some good news to share. The South Team Family Group has had their prayers answered.
Amen.
We are excited to welcome Kendall and Diane Knight as the new leaders of the South Family Group. Amen. So they're an amazing couple. You know, we're thankful and very, very fortunate to have them in this ministry. And they have a lot to offer
Amen.
To the church. Amen.